Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy. Happy Thursday, guys. Wow. We're almost at the end of the week. And that means we have made it basically another week. Hope you guys have tackled some of those goals this week, which, of course, we speak on all the time. This morning, joining us on the show, we will have WeTV's Cutting It in the ATL, the CEO and founder of Touched by an Angel Beauty School and Touched by an Angel Salon, joining us shortly, Pat Thompson. She'll be on the line shortly. Guys, I want to just touch on a few things this morning before we get into the show about voting. I know I did receive a lot of feedback from the previous show that we had regarding voting. Guys, it's really important to get out there and vote. Please do not feel that your vote does not matter. I have heard folks say that who are we supposed to vote for with the options that we have. But, guys, it's really important that you get out there and vote. You don't want to be the individual after the election basically complaining about what's going on or what's happening next for our nation, and you did not get out there and vote. So be sure to get out there and vote if you're not registered to vote. There are a lot of places online in every city, every state, wherever you can register to vote. You can vote at your local motor vehicle department. So, guys, get out there and vote because your vote does matter. Now, joining us on the line this morning is Pat Thompson. Hey, Pat, are you there? Hi, Pat, are you there yet? Okay, guys, we'll wait a few moments for Pat to join us on the line. In the meantime, I will drop you guys some nuggets, as I always do. Someone actually reached out to me. As most of you know, I do a lot of life and business coaching for women that are transitioning from corporate America to entrepreneurship. And so someone reached out to me and wanted to know what type of information could they get for those folks that are not interested in starting a business. Because everyone does not want to start a business. Everybody does not want to be a business owner. So, guys, just know that we do have a lot of options as well, information, resources, and tools. So if you're in a position right now that you would like to advance, you would like to get a promotion, you would like your supervisor's job, or you would like the CEO's job, there are ways as well that you can prep yourself in moving forward in the corporate ladder. So no, everything is not about entrepreneurship because everybody is not interested in being an entrepreneur, which I clearly understand. So if you want to reach out to me for more information about how you can advance in your career, please feel free to reach out to us on TeresaMurphyInc.com, and we would be more than happy to give you our schedule for our classes. They are career classes for those individuals, again, that want to advance in their current career, or if you want to change a position and go into a different area or industry in your career, we also can help you with that. So, joining us this morning, guys, again, we will have WeTV's Cutting It in the ATL, CEO and founder of Touched by an Angel Beauty School and Salon, Pat Thompson. Good morning, Pat. Hi, Pat, are you on the line yet? Okay, guys, so we'll wait a few more moments for Pat to get on the call. And in the meantime, I want to give those individuals, again, that have that wanted to that sent in the questions. I can't answer all of your questions. However, I do want to answer some of the email questions, which they are really of importance. So the first question I wanted to answer this morning that got emailed to me is, what happens if you don't get support from family and friends? Wow. This question gets asked all the time. Guys, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is that you don't seek validation from other individuals to be able to progress in what it is that you are trying to progress in. So if you believe enough in yourself, go hang around like-minded people. You might want to recruit some new friends. You might want to recruit some folks that are kind of doing some of the same things that you want to do. Or, more importantly, you want to go hang around those individuals that are already successful in what it is that you want to do. So that may not be your auntie, your uncle. That may not be your sister, your brother. And it may not even be your childhood friends. Do not waste a lot of time seeking validation from individuals on something you know you are destined to do. Once you have set the ignition button and you know that you are destined and this is your gift of what it is that you want to do, do not seek validation from family and friends, because unfortunately, sometimes that can set you back. So, guys, to answer your question, go hang around like-minded groups. Go hang in, actually, there's a lot of networking groups you can use, meetup.com. There are a lot of events that happen on eventbrite.com. So go out there and find those networking groups, but connect with those individuals that are already successful in doing what it is that you want to do. It's going to be key, actually, to your success. So I will see, has Pat joined us yet on the line? Pat, are you here this morning? Hi, Pat, are you on the call?
Hi, I'm on the phone. It's Pat.
Okay, good morning, Pat. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining Motivate My Life Radio this morning. Before we get into the Pat Thompson of Cutting It in the ATL, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners this morning kind of want to know kind of the behind the scenes of the show and things of that nature, I want to talk about who Pat Thompson is before reality TV, and how did you get into the beauty industry, and basically if you can tell us how long you've been in the beauty industry.
Okay. Well, I've been doing hair now for approximately 25 years, and how I got started, I'm in my classroom with the students, but how I got started was, really I've been doing hair ever since I was a child. But then I decided that, you know, I didn't want to be bootleg anymore. I decided I wanted to go to school. So what I did was I enrolled in Griffin Tech College, which is Southern Crescent now, down in Griffin, Georgia. And before I enrolled in school, I was working at a dry cleaner. And I just knew that it had to be something out there better. Because even when I finished high school, I ran from the passion that I had doing hair. So what made me get real serious about it when I had my daughter. So she's 26 now. So I enrolled in Griffin Tech. It took me like 3 years to finish because I stayed on academic probation because, you know, really I just went to school. I just wanted to go to school so they just can teach me how to do hair. I didn't understand there was other components into doing hair where you have to know the theory and all the other stuff behind doing hair.
Exactly.
So once I finished Griffin Tech, I graduated in December, and it was 1994, I believe. Before I graduated, I decided I wanted to open up my own salon because I really didn't want to work for anyone. So I opened up my first salon over in Jonesboro, Georgia, and I was working at the dry cleaners at the time, so I decided I was going to work at the dry cleaners in the daytime, and I was going to do hair at nighttime. So I was like, I just had to walk out on faith. So I quit the dry cleaners job, and then I decided that I was going to go inside of my salon full time. So after I went inside of my salon full time, it just like it been history after that. And I really designed my salon to help ladies that really could not afford to get their hair done. So I wanted to come up with some kind of program where I just could help ladies, you know, really that couldn't go to the beauty salons to get their hair done. But with the model that I created, I really didn't attract those ladies. I attract the professional ladies, like the doctors, the lawyers. That was my clientele at the time. We started doing shampoo sets for $10. We did relaxers for $25, and we did sew-ins for $50. So back then, people really wasn't wearing weaves that heavy. We used to probably start getting really heavy, probably like in 2000. Mm-hmm. So I started doing advertising. So once I started doing advertising with AJC, I was paying like $2,000 a week for advertisement. So I went from owning one salon all the way up to 13 salons.
Wow.
And it made me feel good that I was able to employ people. Then I also started a weave boot camp because at that time weave started getting real hot in the 2000s. So I started teaching ladies how to do weaves, how to lay them flat. And, you know, really I just started from there. And then 2 years ago I was like, well, you know, I should just open up a school. So I opened up a school, mm-hmm. and it's just been history since then.
And Pat, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, because a lot of folks, you know, actually don't understand that the hair industry is a professional business. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think for a long time folks didn't realize that is a profession, working in the hair industry. So throughout your journey and throughout your career, you know, to get to obtain to some level of success where you currently are today, what were some of your challenges in the hair business, having that many salons?
I mean, really, it wasn't all that bad because what happened when the economy got bad back in 2007, 2008, I mean, my business was strong. I mean, we was making big money. I mean, oh, my God, I was making so much money that I really didn't have a problem. But what happened when the economy got bad, that's when everybody wanted to come aboard. A lot of professional women, they wanted to come aboard and open. I mean, not professional. Well, a lot of people that was in corporate America that had lost their jobs.
Mm.
They decided now they wanted to open up salons. So they opened up the salons, and, you know, some of them had, like, hard time because they really didn't know about hair, you know, mm-hmm. about doing a sew-in weave and all of that nature. But with me, I really didn't have a hard time. It just came so easy. I mean, it was just so easy. But, you
and,
know,
and that
now,
tells me that was probably your gift. So basically doing hair is definitely probably, mm-hmm. we can say that it is your gift, and maybe mm-hmm. the reason why it wasn't. A lot, you didn't hit a lot of roadblocks and obstacles. And I have a question coming in, Pat, and I want to get this answered before I lose my train of thought. I was going to get to this question later in the show, but since it popped up now, we'll go ahead and ask you the question. You are the originator of the $50 weave, is what someone is asking, or is that originator of the $50 weave, has that been something that has just been ongoing and no one knows who the real originator is? This is the question that we're getting asked.
Oh, good. I enjoy that. That's a good question. I am the originator of the $50 weave. I started that back in, like I told you, back in the 90s. No one was doing $50 weave. No one had heard of anyone doing $50 weave. They was doing, like I told you, that a lot of people was charging like $200 for weaves, but like I was telling you, I was trying to come up with some kind of idea where I can do weaves at a reasonable price, well, really everything in the salon, at a reasonable price where people would be able to afford to get their hair done.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood volume, and I understood the word business. Business, a lot of hairstylists do not understand that. Business is when the business is working for you, not you working for the business. So at this time, I know that I had to get a whole staff together because I never did booth rent. So in order for me to have people to work for me, I had to have that volume coming inside of the salon so I would be able to take care of them and also take care of myself because at this time I had got so big where I was not able to do hair anymore. I had to start concentrating on getting customers inside of the salon. And so I understood the volume. And that's how I really came up with the concept of the $50 weave. And that's how a lot of people, they imitate it. But I don't have a problem with that. Because even like the girl Tanya that owned the weave shop, she have like 17 locations now. She worked for me. A lot of people that started back in 2000, you know, that became real successful, they came through Touch Fine Angel Beauty Salon.
Because you do know we have one here, too, Pat. And I'm located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we actually have a $50
weave shop.
Salon here.
Yeah, weave shop.
The weave shop.
Mm-hmm.
We have
the girl Tanya, Uh-huh, the girl Tanya, she owned it. Well, she was it's a franchise. So the girl that owned the franchise, she used to work for me. So
okay, so clarification, Pat Thompson is the originator of the $50 weave, and kind of after that, it kept getting, I guess, imitating because it's
yeah, everybody want to be the originator. Yeah. After that, everybody wants to be the originator, but I am
okay.
the originator of the $50 weave
okay.
line. But, you know, and I'm happy, but I'm happy that people, you know, they made a good living off that because I made over $1 million with the $50 weave salons. I know
wow.
other people that made a good good salary off the $50 weave salon. I did, you know, they brought me on the show, this girl, Maya, she told everybody that she started it. But she started her salon back in 2000, I believe in 2009. I've been in business ever since 1990-something. So a lot of people, they can go back and do the history on that. And then some of my old advertisement is up on Google.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and see, I think that's why the question was getting asked. And of course, I had a few other questions that I was actually going to ask you during that when I get to your you being a reality star on Cutting It in the ATL. But however, that was asked like multiple times. So I think a lot of folks want to know because a lot of people, there are a lot of viewers that watch that show. And so
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, as a viewer, you don't know what's accurate, what's not accurate. So
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of folks just really want to know, you know, are you the originator of it? And then, you know, the back and forth of why folks mimic some of the things that, you know, other people do. Because I'm a firm believer that it's okay to be in the same industry
okay.
with folks. I mean, the market's mm-hmm. saturated now with everybody kind of in a lot of the same industry. So it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I never had clarity on why individuals, you know, always – it's always with women a lot of times who started what first and so forth and, you know, and opposed to being supportive and
mm-hmm.
giving each other props. And I think that's really
mm-hmm.
important. So I do have another question that I wanted to ask you as well. Someone wanted to know, how have you been able to stay relevant and innovative in the industry?
Okay, so like I was telling you, like after the $50, because, you know, everyone doing the $50 weave salon, you know, I support anyone that's doing it. And like on WeTV, they did not tell the viewers really why they brought me on. They didn't start from last season when Maya said that she created. I don't have a problem with her doing it. They just brought me on like this mad one, which I'm not mad. But
okay.
I don't have a problem with her doing it, but I just have a little problem with when you said that you created it because you felt like ladies couldn't pay their car notes. And I was like, wait a minute. Now, you know, that's not true. So that's the problem that I had with it. I don't have a problem with her doing it. I don't have a problem with her doing it because really, you know, I still have my $50 salons here in Atlanta, but I'm doing something totally different now. So why everybody want to be the originator of the $50 weave salon? So that's why I opened up a beauty school so I can train people how to really be the originator of the $50 weave salon. So I decided to open up beauty school, and to do beauty school, that's a whole nother ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing now is with my schools and stuff, I open them and I make it reasonable for people can attend at good prices, and I go to the different shelters and, you know, get ladies that's interested in doing hair, and I give them, like, scholarships to attend the school.
Wow. And so, and that was actually something else I wanted to touch on because I actually did read that you do scholarships for women to be able to afford to come to your beauty schools, which I think is really important because there are a lot of women that want to start their career in the hair industry and they just can't afford it. And so
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about, Pat, individuals that are doing hair right now that aren't licensed? Like, what is your take on that? Because you do have a lot of individuals that are working, and when I say doing hair, they're not licensed. I'm not talking about, speaking of those individuals that are working in at home doing hair, of course, because a lot of folks that's working at home.
You're talking about working inside of the salons that's not licensed.
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't know
correct.
The laws in North Carolina, but one of the laws here in Georgia is that you can do sew-in weaves and not be licensed. You don't have to be licensed to do weaving
okay.
here in Georgia, but you cannot blow dry or flat iron hair or do any chemical service without a license. So with that saying
okay.
that, mm-hmm. So with that,
okay, so, and
we had a lot of
– not meaning to cut you off. I just wanted to ask really quickly, not meaning to cut you off. So basically, to clarify, you can do sew-ins in the state of Georgia without having to have a license. You just can't do any chemicals. You can't do any blow dry or anything of that nature, but you can do weed. Is that why you think the market is so saturated with individuals that are doing weed?
Yes, that's why the market is saturated right now. But, I mean, some other states do allow that, too, but I just don't know all the states that do allow people to do weaving without being licensed. Because what happened, I think the reason why they stopped, you know, brought in that law is because you had a lot of people that had, like, the African people, they had, like, braiding shops and stuff, and they felt like that was unfair. Why should they have to go to school and do the chemicals and all this other different stuff in order to do braiding? Because a lot of the braiding shops would get fined here in Georgia, so all of them got together, petitioned it, so they came up with that law.
Okay. So, and a lot of folks, you know, that are trying to get into the hair industry right now today, what are three keys that you would give someone today that's trying to get into the hair industry to obtain success in the hair industry? What are, like, three key points that you would give someone right now that's just getting started?
Well, one, I would tell them to go to beauty school, because it's nothing like being licensed. Because one thing with my license, wherever I go, my license goes. And we're the only field that you can make a six-figure income within 9 months. We're the only field that I know of. You can go to school for 9 months and you can make a six-figure income. And also, after that, we also can go back to school for 4 months and get our instructor license. And then instructor license allow you where you can open up a beauty school and all the other different stuff. And it just help keep you where you don't have to worry about all this competition stuff, especially if you keep up on your game. You know, stay on your game, like get your license. I mean, it's just so important. You have to get your license. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just all for getting your license.
No,
and you know,
you
the ones that do
apart?
Hair. How do I
set
myself apart?
How do you set yourself apart? Yes.
Because I decided to go back to school, and I decided to get my instructor license. I'm in the process of now getting my barbering license. I want to be able, especially with me being almost 50, I know I cannot stand behind a chair the rest of my life. And I know opening up a beauty school, I mean, I'm leaving a legacy back for my grandson. And his kids, you know, I mean, owning a beauty school is just really just, it just step up the game. I mean, because everybody say our hair, you know, I mean, you know, I just love having a beauty school.
So you're just able now to teach individuals basically opposed to kind of just getting up every day and standing behind a chair and so forth and doing hair. So,
yeah, what it can make. It can set you from that. You don't have to get behind the chair every day, which how I set my business up. I haven't been behind the chair since, like, the early 2000s. You know, I don't have to touch hair. It's all about how you set up your business.
Mm-hmm. So, really, you're touched by an angel. Beauty schools and salons is a professional business, and that's basically what I am hearing from you. And Pat,
yes,
with everything that you had going on in the industry, how did you get into reality TV?
What happened was Ms. Dea Walker Flocka's mom, she always brought her nieces to my salon to get, I mean, not her niece, her grandkids to my salon to get their weaves done. And she'd been coming to my salon a long time. She was like, hey, I suggested you to be on this TV show because, I mean, this lady saying that she started it, and I know she did not. She was like, I would get off the airplane and I would see your billboards and I know that you started this. So she made a phone call, and then next thing I know, the producers, they called me from the show.
Wow. So you were able to go on there and kind of somewhat set the record straight, right?
The thing about how WeTV set it up, you know, really I couldn't set the record straight because it was like I'm this mad woman, you know, not supporting this other woman because she piggybacked off my ideal, and, you know, they just, I didn't, I just, well, how they did, I just didn't like it.
So, Pat, when you say how WeTV set it up, because I've actually interviewed a couple of other folks here on my show that were on some WeTV shows. When you say how WeTV sets it up, because a lot of folks don't know what happens in reality TV. Some folks want to know, is it reality TV? And then some folks want to know, you know, are there parameters of things that you can and can't say, things that you can and can't do? Are you supposed to be portrayed as a certain character? So how they set it up for you to come on the show as a mad woman, and that's basically what your character portrays on the show. I do watch the show. And so what happens when folks don't know you personally, it kind of allows people to form an opinion of you. And when you get out there on national TV and get on these shows, so how far, what are your limitations with WeTV far as what you can and can't do and what you can and can't say? Do you guys
because you film a whole lot, and you know, and they only cut. You can film for 2 days, but they only gonna show the part that they want to show. They put bits and pieces together to make a show. A lot of things filmed, they didn't even show it. I mean, I filmed with me going to the shelter, giving out the scholarship. They didn't show that. I mean, it's all reality TV is a numbers game. It's all about the ratings.
Wow. Okay, so basically, when they film, what we see is basically what they've edited.
Yes, of course
the show.
They edited.
Okay.
And yes, they edited it and
together.
Put bits and pieces together to make a show.
Okay, and basically make an interesting show. Basically, how they look at it, because for some reason, you know. No one wants to look at a boring
show.
TV show nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like purposeless.
You're right.
Have nothing going on. you know, because I was watching, speaking of which, I was watching a show that I used to watch, what's that, Basketball Wives, Pat, and Evelyn Lozada. She was on Basketball Wives, and we know what her character, who she was portrayed as and who she was on Basketball Wives. So when her new show came out, and she's now this different person, you know, they're showing her as a, you know, as a fiance, and with a new baby and so forth. And she's basically redeemed her character. And so nobody wants to watch it. So I think it's a living
exactly.
Lozada. But then I like seeing folks transform. So to me, it's like one of my favorite shows now because, you know, to see someone go from a negative place to go to a positive place, I think is – it's a huge impact, but unfortunately, it's not a huge impact enough for folks to say that it's not boring, because that's basically what I've heard people say. It's now her life now is boring. So I guess if you're not in conflict on these shows now, or going back and forth with someone or what have you, or fighting or throwing something or meeting up and, you know, getting in confrontations, then basically the show is boring. So now, I do have a caller on the line that wants to, I'm going to open up the line briefly just for one or two questions, and I do have a caller on the line that has a question that she would like to ask you, and this is LaTanya Taylor from Richmond, Virginia. Hi, LaTanya. Good morning. Are you on the call?
I am on the line. Can you hear me, Teresa?
I can. Good morning. Thank you for calling in to Motivate My Life Radio. And looks like you have a question for our guest this morning, Pat Thompson.
Hi, good morning, Pat. I am truly a fan, so I'm excited to be able to ask your question this morning.
Okay, I'm excited to answer it.
Well, I had two questions, so I'll do one. Let me ask you this, because sometimes you are portrayed, it appears you're portrayed kind of negative on the show. How are you leveraging TV to truly benefit your brand and your business in a more positive way, since they don't show always the good things? So I just want to know how you're really leveraging, because I'm sure you did TV for a purpose.
I mean, really, like you said, WeTV don't show, like, the good part. But, you know, going on, like, radio interviews and, you know, doing like great things in the community. And a lot of times people Google you. Once they see you on TV, they're going to Google you. Oh, I want to know who Pat really is. So a lot of times when people Google me, they see a lot of different things that I have done in the community. There's like on my Facebook page, I always have people hit me up. Hey, you know, I was always interested in opening up a beauty school. Can you help me? Can you show me the way, you know? And sometimes I have people hit me up. They want to learn how, you know, how to open up a salon. So really you have to do like radio interviews and different stuff like that to let people know who you really represent, you know, how you represent yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And another thing, because you were just talking about the beauty school, I also know on the show that I saw you help one of the hairstylists or introduce her into opening up her own school. Did you ever feel like that's competition for you? Do you feel like that's going to be competition for you or impact your school?
No. I mean, because we're on two different sides of town, and no. You know, I like to see successful. I like to see women when they, you know, make. I like to help them to become successful. You know, I don't have a jealous bone, to be honest. I know the show probably appear that I do, but I really don't. I mean, because I have helped a lot of people open up salons. I mean, it's just something that I do. I don't have a problem with that. I've been doing this for years.
Right. Well, I truly believe in it, too, and I support it. So I was really happy when I saw that because I feel like it takes, you know, it takes another woman to sometimes pull up another one and bring them along. You know, our goal in life should be to connect and collaborate and celebrate each other as women. So I applaud you. I really, like I said, I admire you on the show. And just for you have been in business for so long, it's just amazing. So just congratulations, Pat.
And thank you. And then another thing on tonight's show, so it might put a little gun in the, you know, we TV don't put a little turnball on it, so you got
to
watch it tonight, honey. But I always remember that I'm always for helping, you know, other black women. I mean, any lady, anybody that want to become successful, it doesn't matter. They black, white, blue, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Young, old.
Right. Well, thank you, Teresa.
Well, LaTanya, I wanted to thank you, too, for coming on the line and asking your questions. I think it's really important for sometimes, you know, our viewers and our listeners to be able to get clarity of who that individual really is outside of what they actually see on TV. So thanks again, LaTanya. We appreciate you joining the show this morning. All right. So
thank you so much.
So, Pat, anyway, we want to get on to, I have a few other questions, so I don't want to miss them. Now, getting back to Cutting It in the ATL, I want to ask you, when you first, like, so did you guys, the shows are pre-recorded, from my understanding. So
yes.
A lot of the things that go on the show, you guys can't even talk about them, correct?
Yes.
So when the show's pre-recorded 4 or 5 months, 6 months in advance or what have you, and you guys know what has happened on the show, then do you guys get to see the show before it airs, or you guys don't see the show until we see it?
The show come out on Thursday. We get it every Tuesday. Tuesdays is our first time watching it.
Okay, so you guys get it a couple days beforehand. Now, when you see yourself
mm-hmm.
actually on TV, because sometimes when you're in that character mode or you're actually getting films and tapes and so forth, it's a little bit different from you actually seeing yourself. When you initially first saw yourself on TV, what was your first thought about the character you were on TV?
What the hell have I done?
So your first initial reaction when you saw yourself is, what the hell have I done? Like, you know, because I always wondered, like, when folks are on reality TV, you know, when you see yourself on that screen, like, what do you think about yourself? You know what I mean? So did you have any regrets for going on to reality TV, or do you feel that going on reality TV, it's not going to affect you as an individual?
Well, I feel like it's not going to affect me, really. You know, it might.
Okay.
I don't know, but I just look at it like, okay, well, you know, this is just entertainment for the people, honey. I gave WeTV what they needed. I got that WeTV check, honey. I just bought me a school, 6,600 square feet, where I'm doing barbering and cosmetology. So, honey, I just opened a school with WeTV check money. So they wanted me to cut the food. So I did something for them. They did something for me. So, hey, we even.
So, hey, you got a win-win situation right there, right, Pat? So,
I was like,
won't be no to me. You know what? Because guess what? About 6 months from now, you know, they'll be talking about the next thing that's on TV. And you know, like you said,
next
you've actually gone on for life. And
yeah,
you
next
have,
ain't nobody
you're
even
you're
thinking
cool.
about it. They don't forget all about it, out of sight, out of mind. And I really did think of that, just like what you said. After next Thursday, people going to have something totally different on their mind, a new reality TV show. We waiting on that.
There'll be another one on. Yeah. So then Pat Thompson, you'll be some of the other past. They'll have to go back and look at all the recaps to remember what actually happened on Cutting It in the ATL, because they'll be gone on to the next what they think is the next best thing. So I definitely say that's a win-win situation. Very smart move on your behalf, so you were able to basically use your money and open up another school and open up a barber and shop and all that stuff. I think that is awesome. Now, what is
no? We're adding barbering school. We are adding barbering school to our program, and also starting in December, you know, we'll be able to take VA payments, and we're also eligible for financial aid, because we have to wait. When you open up a school, you have to wait two years before you can get any kind of assistance, because in the beginning, you're just out there. You're just hanging. You got to think of all kind of creative ways. That's when all my marketing step in place. So I thank God, December, 2 years. He never let me slumber, slip, or fall. And I'm just looking for, you know, great things. Next year, 2017.
Well, Pat, really quickly, in that 2 year time span, when you're saying you have to wait 2 years before, basically, I guess you're saying for you to get any assistance, are people able to sign up for your school? Or do they have to wait until you're able to offer financial aid? Okay, they just have to pay out of pocket.
No. Yeah, they have to pay out of pocket, and that's why I think of creative ways. Like when I first opened up my beauty school, I did 30 free scholarships. And I also did a program where you can pay me $1,200. And your education, you don't have to worry the 9 months. They take care of the whole 9 months. The only thing you got to do is buy your books, mannequins. Hey, now we're in school.
So it worked out
very well for me.
And it sounds like you're really big on helping folks. And I'm glad that we were able to clear that air, because you are not that person that we see on TV every Thursday. And I think it's important
Of course not. I mean, even the ones that they show good, they're not that person, honey. Don't be fooled now. Because everything that looks good don't mean that it's good now. Because, you know, hey, you know, I didn't realize when you get on reality TV. I mean, really, I could have went on there and told people I own 20 schools. And it could have, you know, hey, that's making Pat look good. But see, I went on reality TV because really I wanted it. So how real I am, but they didn't let me show that part. They wanted me to cut the fool with them, act the monkey. So that's what happened.
So you basically gave them what they requested.
I gave them.
So,
I mean, they didn't request it, but as I see when they edit everything and the different questions that was asked, now I see what happened. You know, after I'm looking at the shows myself, now I see exactly what happened, and I realize who was fake, who was real. And then, you know, I would like the viewers to know, because sometimes, like, especially on Cutting in the ATL, they'll put up, like, oh, certain ones are this is a great business person and all that different stuff. I just want people to sit back and think, a person that owns a beauty school is totally different from a person that sells hair. It's a whole different ball game. Anybody can sell hair. Anybody. I mean, up here in Atlanta, we got 14 and 15-year-olds that sells hair. I mean, hair is something that you can get. Hair is something that you can get on any corner. But when you open up beauty schools, you're changing people's lives. When you are doing things in the community, when you're giving young ladies, young men's hope. I mean, I think that's a great thing. So, like, we have a contest that's on the show. Who is the head beauty boss in charge? I mean, all of them said that they're the head beauty boss in charge, but what I really call a head beauty boss in charge, and when you change a life, it's not about what's in your pocket. You know, everybody on this show talking about how much money they make and all that different. So it's not about how much money you can make. How much money can you help the next man make? That's what it's all about.
And you know what, Pat? I have to agree with you on that, because I always tell folks, you know, success for me is not about how much money I make, but how I impact the lives of others. And I think a lot of folks, you're exactly right, they measure success by how much money they make
and so on and so forth, and they're not changing lives. So I think it's
really
important.
Yes, and then another thing, let me make this point too, because that's just like when Hillary was on TV when she asked Donald Trump to show his tax return. A lot of these people on this TV on the TV show, hey, they need to watch what they're saying, because, I mean, IRS is no joke. So if you're saying you made mm-hmm. $1.2 million and all that different, so let me see your tax mm-hmm. return. That would impress. Show me your tax returns, honey. Because talk yeah. is cheap. Like, you remember that? Like I told you earlier, you can go on the TV show and say whatever you want to, but show me the tax return. Anybody can say whatever they want to. Show me how you change in lives and all that different stuff. A car doesn't mean anything to me. How they pick at Deidre for driving yeah. around in a Honda. I'd rather see that Honda pay for a car, because a person that drives around in a name brand car, they got a car note. That don't impress yeah. me, what you drive, yeah. how you live. All that don't impress me. Show me your bank account. Show me what the title to your home, the title to your car. Sure. Now, that'll impress me. It's not about what you drive and all that different stuff. I mean, reality TV show, they have a lot of people in the bankrupt court, because they really actually believe that these women are making this much money, and there's no way possible that you can make one. There's no way possible you can make a six-figure income standing on your feet. I just can't see it. Unless you're working day in and
right.
day out. I just can't see it. You got to have a team. It consists of having a mm-hmm. team. But if you're making
yes.
a agree. Six-figure on your feet doing hair, you're a bad gal.
I totally agree. And honestly, Pat, it probably is not just in the hair industry. You just need a team, period. If you get into that six, seven-figure mark, you definitely have to, you know, I'm thinking that you have a team in place. It is difficult for one individual.
You have
individual.
To have a team.
Yeah, it's difficult for an individual to make. Yeah, six. But we get, you know, even on social media, outside of reality TV, you see a lot of that now of, you know, everybody, quote, unquote, is making six figures, and everybody can teach you how to make six and seven figures and things of that nature.
Oh,
and so, I tell folks all the time that be careful. Whoever that is mentoring you and coaching you, just make sure they have reached the success level of where you're trying to go, because we do have a lot of folks now that can basically do everything, because actually social media is just about one step down from reality TV, actually. So the only thing is you're not on national TV, but you're on a social network. So, again, you can portray to be anybody and anything that you want to be, even on social media. So things have definitely
and
changed.
And also I wonder, how do you have over a million followers? You've never been on TV, on no TV show. I mean, they're buying these followers, and people are actually believe that they know these
mm-hmm.
men. I don't believe it. Do not believe it. I mean, you have to be buying these people.
You know what? I appreciate you pointing that out, because I actually had some candid conversation. That's really funny that you say that, because, you know, you go and measure what the followers are, and not even that you're paying somebody that much attention, but when someone, you get those individuals that boast a lot about what they have, and you do go and see that they have 1.2 million followers, or they didn't reach the capacity of their followers, and then you think to yourself first, and then another thing you think to yourself sometimes is, by that point too, that you don't have time to be on social media every day, all day. So, you know, a lot of times you normally have a marketing person that, or a social media person that's handling your social media account, and unfortunately, people are buying followers because.
Yeah,
I'm counting with you. If I see you with that many followers and I haven't seen you on anything nationally or publicly, or, you know, I'm kind of, how did you reach to that capacity and folks don't know who you are?
And then you have these many followers, only 100 likes. No. Oh, now that tells me a lot.
Yeah. well, I don't know. I just had a question pop up. Yes, you can buy followers. Yeah, we know that because I used to get all my assistant. We blocked a lot of spam because we used to get emails, a lot of folks offering us to sell us followers. But I tell folks all the time, be authentic and be transparent. And to do that, you want to have organic followers. I just don't recommend anyone to go out and purchase followers or likes so they can look bigger than what they are. I don't recommend that, because you get a lot of probably in those purchased followers. They're meaningless folks.
So
yes, I mean, but you know,
mm-hmm. you're trying to get to me to portray someone that you're not.
Mm-hmm. So, like my grandmother would always say, "What my grandmother would always say, whatever done in the wash, they'll come out in the rinse."
I like that one. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, and it's the truth.
So whatever in you gonna come out, whoever you are, I mean, eventually people will find out. I mean, just, you know, just let people like you for who you are, you know. Because when you have, like, these fake people and then something, yeah, you can appreciate it because if something happened, then they're going to be talking negative about you and all that other different stuff. Oh, I just knew it and I don't have time.
And
I made my business without being on social media. Facebook did not make me. Instagram did not make me. I worked out here in these streets. I did it the old-fashioned way with flyers, mail-outs. I did it with radio. I did it with TV. You know, I did it the old-fashioned way. I mean, I went back to the basics. Because there's so much going on now. This world is just like a microwave. And what people don't understand, even people that do hair, what I can tell them is go back to the basics. Go back to what they taught you in beauty school. They taught us how not to run a booth rent salon.
Yeah, what were they doing?
They taught us not to run a booth rent salon. They taught us to do everything commission.
They did. Back then, they definitely did teach you how to run everything commission-based. And you know what? I'm so glad that we are conveying this message out there because we have a lot of listeners on the call this morning. So I think it's really important that they understand that being authentic and being transparent, that to me will help you obtain success a lot quicker than it will you actually portraying to be someone that you're not. Because when you go looking at
because you're not going to know how to help them.
Exactly. So, that's one thing, Pat, I definitely agree with you on. I like the old school way and the old fashioned way. And I tell folks all the time, first, you know, social media marketing, I have nothing against social media marketing whatsoever.
I don't either.
What were you doing before? Like, how were these businesses, because there's a lot of successful businesses that are not even on social media, and now folks think if you're not on social media, then you're not doing nothing. So, you know, that kind of, I have a lot of folks that say, you know, well, they don't have a strong presence on social media, but guess what, Pat? They're still making 6 and 7 figures.
Exactly.
So social media, yeah, that doesn't determine your wealth or determine how much money you make. Social media works for a lot of folks. For some businesses, I don't think it works at all. But, you know, that's for folks to pick and choose what they think that will work for them. But I just want the people listeners on the call today listening to the show to know that there are other ways to market outside of social media. And Pat definitely touched on something far as doing it the old school way, how she got out there and put out flyers and she did radio and she did TV. And she did not rely solemnly on social media. I think that is really huge.
Didn't rely on it at all. I didn't even have, back in the day, I didn't even have a, when I made all that money, I did not even have a website. I didn't even have a website. I mean, I would ride around. I would have, like, stickers of my business post on the car, those magnets on the car. And, I mean, it just really worked. And I worked strongly inside of my community. Because you have a lot of people that come inside the salon don't even know anything about social media, like the older ladies. They don't know anything about social media. They don't know. The nursing homes, they don't know anything about social media. A lot of the ladies,
that's a really good nugget. Guys, that's a really great nugget. I mean, maybe something you all out there, the listeners out there, want to just really take heed of. And maybe today you might want to start thinking of different ways that you may can market your business and you may can obtain success other ways outside of just kind of posting on social media. And I always tell folks, too, if you're posting on social media and you're not getting, no one's buying your products or your services, you're being a disservice. I mean, because I personally, you know, I don't want to post on social media just to be posting. You know,
exactly.
If it's not generating
to
revenue. Yeah.
Like, I'm on Instagram every Thursday that's talking to myself. On Twitter, honey, because nobody I know, everybody in my circle don't even do Twitter. So I'm on Twitter every Thursday night because the show asked me to. I'm on Twitter every Thursday night talking to myself. I have a few people.
And then folks get upset because, you know, you don't get your, you know, people literally post stuff for likes. So, I mean, it's as crazy as it sounds, people post things for likes. And if, you, if you're posting things for likes and then you're not getting the likes that you're looking for, that's why I tell a lot of folks they use that platform for social media to be accountable or more to boast or to make themselves look like something they really aren't. Because that should
that's
not
right.
be your only way of marketing. And Pat, I
yes.
appreciate you actually touching on that for us this morning. And again, how can people follow you, learn a little more information about you, get in contact with you, maybe even come down to your salon and get their hair done?
Oh, yeah,
you
come
can let
by.
Us know what are your social media handles.
Okay, well, let me make one more say one more thing before we go. Especially like to the hairstylists, and I always suggest to any hairstylist, like a lot of people hit me up on Facebook, I always tell like any hairstylist that's over the age of 40 that still enjoy doing hair, I always advise them that they need to go back to school and get their instructor license. Because number
mm-hmm.
one, we have like young girls, 20, 21, they're taking us down in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I want a lot of hairstylists, I want to break it down, I want to take my time with this. A lot of hairstylists do not understand if one thing happened to your business, just shut down. All that bragging you're doing on social media, your business just shut down. If anything happens, that's why it's so important if they get them, if they go back to school and get their instructor license, that's where they'll be able to open up their own beauty school. They have the opportunity to work in a college. They have the opportunity to work in a high school or whatever. Then they have steady income coming. And also, if they own a salon, give them the opportunity where they can open up a beauty school, but the same way open up a salon is almost the same way open up a beauty school. And they want to have something that they'll be able to fall back on. That's what happened to a lot of hairstylists. They don't pay their taxes, and they don't have anything to fall back on. A lot of hairstylists, they claim they make $100,000 a year. Then at the end of the day, they can't even buy a house because one thing about IRS, you got to have 2 years of tax returns. You cannot continue to tell
mm-hmm.
IRS you only make $16,000. Mm-hmm. Now you want this $80,000 house. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Only place that
totally.
You can actually go and tell that lie to is the car lot. They'll let you get any kind of car that you want, but you cannot buy a home or anything. You don't have anything that you can really sit back on. And then also when you start getting older and stuff, pay into your taxes. Because we get a report every
right.
year before your birthday comes out. They already tell you if something happened to you, this is the amount of money that you're going to get. A lot of hairstylists, they're not going to get anything because if you never paid in, you're not going to get anything back.
Stay out.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
they're not
going to
get anything back.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of taxes, before we wrap up, I want to ask a quick question. When, and like you said, because a lot of stylists get paid cash. So a lot
exactly.
of cash is not reported.
Exactly.
And a lot of it's not reported. Now, what would you recommend far as, and this is not you being a tax expert or anything of that nature, but what do you recommend far as the folks that are not paying taxes annually, far as them calculating how much taxes, you know, they should be paying or what they should be reporting? Because there are a lot of stylists that don't report any of their taxes, or some of them do pick and choose how much
what they
want to
report and what they do not want to report. I mean, either
mm-hmm.
they're going to hurt now. I mean, either they're going to do it now or
okay.
they're going to hurt later. Hurt later
okay.
consists of they're not going to be able to get anything when they get old. But what they need to do is get them a good accountant, someone that keeps up their books and be able to report what they make. And then they can pay their taxes really at the end of the year. They can pay everything out at the end of the year. But if you know you're not good at that, you know, they can pay it quarterly.
Okay, so basically.
Because, I mean, they're looking good
so.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had hairstylists that was making six-figure income. One of them passed away, and we had to do a GoFundMe account for her.
Wow. Wow.
Because they don't believe, hairstylists, some of them do not believe in paying their, they don't believe in life insurance, some of them, I'm not saying all, but majority. They don't believe in paying any taxes, they don't, life insurance, and they just spend the money. It's all about show. Put something back. You know, it's not about the car that you drive and all that difference. I learned this a long time ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about what you
people,
drive.
People like to look rich.
You better
they
sit
like
up now
wealthy.
For your old age. They need to sit up now for their old age. I mean, that's
and
what
I'm
saying.
What,
they need to sit up right now, honey.
And that's a pet peeve of mine, Pat. You know, when I see those, honestly, because, look, nobody at this age, and particularly over 40, okay? As a matter of fact, you should start way before in your 20s. I mean, when you get released off of your parents, if that's the case, or whatever, your guardian or whoever that was, no one at this age should be over 40 with no life insurance. So when I see these GoFundMe accounts, it is a huge
it makes me mad.
Peeve of mine. Yeah, it does. It pisses me off, too, because life insurance doesn't cost that much. You can pay it monthly, quarterly,
it
or annually. And it's just, to me, it's not necessary to leave that burden on your family, because that's basically what happens when something happens to you. You leave that burden on your family trying to make sure that you're put away nicely, when that should be something that you should be responsible enough. Same thing I tell folks about having a written will and things of that nature, you know, just kind of designating who gets what and so forth, because you get a lot of families fighting when something happens to someone.
Yeah, they fight. I have seen it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nothing's in writing. I mean, nothing is in writing, so everybody thinks they're entitled. But, guys, listeners, just be sure right now, if you don't have any life insurance, to just reach out. I mean, you can go online and get quotes, and it doesn't cost that much to have life insurance.
Especially when you're
really
young.
Important. Oh, yeah. It's when you get older.
Because like my daughter, she has $1 million policy. She only pays $54 a month, and then it carries her son on as a rider. She don't even have to pay for him. He's on as a rider until you get the age. I think it's 24, I believe. I don't know. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think they can go as a rider. I think up to 26, I believe. Because my son was on mine until he just turned 27, and I can tell you what, mine's even increased a little bit. I got my bill in the mail. At my 45th birthday, and I was like, okay, so, you know, guys, it didn't increase significantly, but as the older you get, it does increase. So get life insurance as early as possible, and a lot of employers offer life insurance. And, you know, you can always have extra policies, but you never have too much. It's not having any at all.
They don't need to depend on the employer, because if you leave that job, you just left your insurance.
Yep. But see, what happens too, Pat, a lot of times when you leave, like when I left corporate America almost 10 years ago, basically what happened with me is, you know, they'll send you something for you to continue the coverage. What happens is folks don't continue the coverage. They kind of just leave it because they don't think that it's important. People don't think life insurance is important.
Yes, it is, just like that car insurance.
Just like your health insurance, because you never ever know what could go wrong, and then you're not covered.
Never.
And the thing about life insurance, you leave the burden on someone else. So that's really important. So hopefully we kind of got maybe through to some folks right now that don't have it. I'm quite sure we have a lot of listeners on this call today that don't have life insurance. And, guys, I definitely would recommend you getting some type of policy to cover yourself. Well, Pat, it has been a pleasure. I really appreciate you joining us this morning on Motivate My Life Radio. And hopefully you can come back soon. And if you can just wrap up really quickly and let us know what your social media handles are, if folks want to follow you, or just kind of just keep up in the know what's going on with Pat Thompson.
Okay, I'm on Facebook. It's TBA Angels. Instagram is I Am Patricia Thompson, and I Am Pat Thompson. And that's how they can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I don't even know what my name is on Twitter, because, see, really, I don't do all that. But really, you really can find me on Facebook. I'm just keeping it real. You really can find me on Facebook. You know, most older people, when you get past 40, we mostly be on Facebook. So you mostly can find me on Facebook.
Yeah, my mom's on there, too. So, guys, there you have it. And you can also basically see Pat tonight on WeTV, Cutting It in the ATL. Is that right, Pat?
I don't know.
Okay.
If you like to, you can.
Okay, guys. Thanks again, Pat.
But I keep
for
it entertaining
the show.
If you want to see a good entertainment tonight.
And that's on WeTV. Find what your channel is in your local area. And it is Pat Thompson from Cutting It in the ATL. Pat, I want to thank you again for joining Motivate My Life Radio. And you have a great rest of the week on purpose.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, guys.
Pat Thompson from Cutting It in the ATL joined us this morning to talk
listening
a lot
to a demo for StockMusic.net
and her beauty schools and actually being a reality star on WeTV's Cutting It in the ATL. We appreciate Pat joining us this morning. Also, thank all of you guys for tuning in. And until next time, thanks for joining Motivate My Life Radio, and you have a great rest of the week on purpose.